This is a production of Cornell University.
GPSA meeting, October 20th, 2008.
Okay, we're going to call this meeting to order. This is the second assembly meeting of the GPSA, October 20th, and the time is 5:37. So welcome back, everybody. Thanks for coming. We do have a new member to the assembly. So our previous law representative actually transferred out of Cornell. And so now we have a new law representative. And I'm going to allow Dave to introduce himself.
Hi, guys. I'm Dave Cograzer from spending year at the law school. And I'm sorry, I'm in law school here.
Great. So do we have any other introductions or welcome? Anybody else new? No. Okay, so we'll move on to approval of the minutes. You all should have received a copy of the minutes over email. I hope you had a chance to look them over because they are a little bit lengthy. But take a couple minutes just to review. And then if you have a comment or an amendment that needs to be made to the minutes, go ahead and raise your hand and bring that up.
I did have one change in the, it's under two open discussion. My comments where it starts, M. Guerrero brought up the issue of communications among undergraduate employee and graduate assembly. I think it's on the second page, top second page. I just, I want to, when I brought up the issue, I specifically mentioned that one of the solutions I was considering or hoping to consider is having access to a complete graduate listserv. And so I just wanted to make that very explicit. I know we talk about it later, but that's what that's the original reason why I brought it up. So if you could include that, I can show you on the computer.
Do you want to write a sentence? Like, do you want to write a sentence?
Sure.
Do you want to put in there, or do you want to
write
something up?
Or you can just write it down. Yeah, it's a red one.
So why don't you read the sentence that you're going to be adding?
Okay. So where it says, they said that, again, this is top of page two, first paragraph. They said they also have this same issue, and they would all like to see some, I'm inserting some solutions, such as having access to a complete graduate listserv. Period. So it's just specifying that not only do we want some solution, but that it was my opinion that part of the solution is, again, to have access to a complete graduate listserv that includes all programs.
Thank you. Do we have any other additions or amendments to the minute? Okay, seeing no other comments. Then can I have a motion to approve the minutes with the insertion that Mario already added? Okay, a second. All in favor, raise your placard, please. Three, seven, eight, nine, ten. Ten in favor. And all opposed? None. And abstentions? Two? Two abstentions? Okay, so minutes approved. Okay. Next item, open forum. Oh, as a point in open forum, everyone just be careful because there's a cord right here. So when you're walking back and forth, please don't trip. We don't need a lawsuit at the barn. The barn already has enough problems. So any items for open forum? This is the time where you can bring up any point that is not already on the agenda. Mike?
I'd just like to give a brief and informal report out from the FSC Council weekend, this past weekend. I don't know if many of you talked to the university grads or caught some coverage of it, or just have been paying attention to the news in general, but again, I don't really know that the economy, I think, is a tough time. That's going to have a big impact on Cornell University in terms of endowment, state funding, special funding as well, and alumni support. And after attending the meetings this weekend, I can say I'm very confident in the state in terms of Cornell University. And I think we're in very good position to weather the storm. We're still in the middle of the storm. But I'm happy to say that, you know, I think we're passionately faster than most of our peer institutions, and we will be in good shape throughout this. So if any of you have any questions, please let me know. And I'd also like to point out the event that happened on Wednesday that I reported on at the council representative meeting 2 weeks ago. Here is going to be, the launch of the climate action plan. It's called, the event is called Getting to Zero, Climate Neutrality Starts with Your Ideas. This event will be at 10. Starting at 10 and going to the again on Wednesday, on Wednesday. And it will be at Wild Hall, Cornell University certified building. And we're basically asking every member of the Cornell community to come share with us that. Learn about what's going on and share with us their ideas for how we can achieve climate neutrality.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Any other items for open forum? I do have an announcement from one of our core members. It's for an event coming up. It's a dance party at Common Ground on Friday to support LGBT rights in California, Florida, and Arizona. Proceeds from the door cover, $5, and select drinks will go to campaigns in those states to defeat discriminatory amendments on the November ballot. A $10 donation gets a free drink and a choice of which state you would like your money to go to. Everyone is welcome. For more information and questions, I have two names, Anna and Patrick. Patrick, who's the core member. Or you can find the event on Facebook called Engage for Equality. So I did print out a more detailed description here, which I'll pass around. And then I also have this in email form, so I'll send it out after the meeting so you guys can pass it on. Okay. So seeing no other items for open forum, we'll move on to old business, and we'll start with executive updates. So I'll let Deandra go first.
So basically, we are wrapping up our committee assignments for appointments for the committee. And so thanks again for everyone who has accepted to serve on a committee. And if you have not gotten to that, I encourage you, there are a few left. I'd like to put in a quick plug for the Child Care Services Committee. They're looking for one person to serve alongside Amy Richter. And they're doing a lot of good work this year. So if you're interested in Child Care Services, do go to the website and submit your application. Also, a couple of quick ones that are still looking for good grads, in case you or someone you know might be cut out for these positions. Campus Life Advisory, that committee is looking for help. We're looking for a liaison to the Employee Assembly. The Spoke Day Steering Committee and Programming Board are looking for grad representation, and also the University Lectures Committee. So please do, if you haven't signed up to serve on the committee, I encourage you to. Also, I am working on a new reporting form for all the students or representatives so that we can have kind of a uniform procedure for reporting what's going on in committee. So I just wanted to update you guys on that.
Brian, comment?
No question. Thank you, mentioning committee. Do you know the University Health Care Services and the Financial Review Committee, are they both running?
There were a few that we weren't sure. We believe they may have been disbanded.
Okay.
I need to double check.
So those two, they weren't sure if they were running or not.
about this after?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. I didn't know if you had an answer.
Okay, so Laura.
Well, I wanted to start off with just giving a quick recap of the Council of Representatives meeting, the last meeting on October 6th. One of the things that we hosted the Center for Teaching Excellence. They gave a presentation, and I think this is very relevant to all graduate students. So if you all are receiving the newsletter, you'll notice that I'm including information on their workshop, and it relates to graduate students in that they're helping specifically TAs just be better at being TAs. And I think they're looking to get input to have a better program, eventually providing some kind of certificate program for graduate students. We mentioned two things that I think are important. One of the issues that we'll be discussing today is the need to to review our charter and some of the things that have come up already that have been issues that we should look into. And I just brought up an additional point in terms of there are a number of things that various committees are working on. One of the things that I recall was a presentation on childcare and how there's different caps for graduate students versus faculty in terms of what people pay, I believe. And so I'm excited to hear about all this news, but I'm also hoping that, you know, sooner rather than later we'll start seeing, obviously in an appropriate time, but we'll start seeing resolutions so that we not only discuss them here, but we let the rest of the university and faculty know what our positions are and what we're advocating for. So that's the recap of the core meeting. I also wanted to bring up an issue that we discussed then that we didn't have complete information on, which was there was an email sent to Brian regarding the newspaper machines that are around campus and that say undergraduate students only. Do you actually want to cover it?
No.
Okay. So it says undergraduate students only, and I guess a graduate student, you know, wrote in and asked what the problem was, and Brian, myself, and a couple of others looked into the issue. And apparently this is not a new issue. This is an issue that's been discussed here before, just in previous years. Essentially, undergraduates pay a certain amount of money from their fee in order to get that benefit, and graduates do not. So at a later time, when we look to set the fee in future years, that's something to consider then. I won't at that point. But we'll discuss it when that comes up, and hopefully we'll start a list, because I think there's been at least one other issue that really only fits in when you're having that type of conversation about setting the fee. But again, benefits, that's a potential benefit to add or to look into. And then finally, there's at the last assembly meeting, President Scorton came and, you know, we voiced a number of concerns. One of them was regarding the LGBT Resource Center, that it was understaffed, and concerns about the process to hire the new director. And the committee there has been a committee formed. We haven't actually met yet. But I'm on it, and a couple of other graduate students and staff and faculty are on that, and we're going to advise in terms of bringing on a new director. And I think, I'm not completely sure, but there used to be an advisory committee for the LGBT Resource Center, and I don't know if they're going to use that same committee to establish that advisory committee as well. But I'll keep you posted. That's it for me. Unless there's any questions on any of that.
Any comments or questions? Okay. So then moving on to my executive update. Mike already said a couple of things that I was going to bring up, so thank you. The State of the University address, there's some news in the Cornell Sun today about that. Also, the new provost has been selected, and it was announced that Kent Fox will be the new provost. So that was stated in the State of the University address. I'd like to I've already been in touch with committee chairs, I think. I don't know if I've been in touch with all of you about this, but just as a recap for some of you, you all have web pages off of the GPSA website. So I encourage you all, Brian has already really taken advantage of this and posted minutes and things from all of his advocacy committee meetings, but I encourage you guys to take advantage of that website because I've been seeing minutes going around over the listserv, but if we get them posted to the website, then they're available for everybody. And already the Office of Assemblies has posted all the committee members onto those particular pages, so the pages are a great resource. Please use them for all of your notes and things, and any other updates that you feel you could use or take advantage of through that webpage. So, and along those lines, if you notice that something needs to be updated, I think we've got everything changed over from pay and benefits over to student advocacy, so that's great work. And but along those lines, if you see something that needs to be updated on your site, just let us know or let Office of Assemblies know. So, the other point I was going to bring up, which is old business in that it stems from the Student Life Board of Trustees meeting, which I was invited to attend, but it's a little bit new business, I think, because it's a topic that we haven't discussed before, but I'm going to at least raise it right now, and that is there was a little bit of it wasn't really discussion, it was more like a comment that was made in the Student Life Committee meeting about graduate student housing and how undergrads are, there are still not enough beds for undergrads, but there are still vacancy beds in Hasbrook, and so why is that so? And it was just a comment that was made, and there wasn't time for discussion on that. But one thing that has changed this year, over the summer, Deandra and I met with the director of housing through Campus Life, Joe Burke. And he presented the problem again, and that was there's been over-admission. We don't have enough beds for all the people who have requested beds, undergraduate and transfer students, that is. And we have open apartments in Hasbrook, can we put transfers in Hasbrook again? And I said, Joe, as president of the GPSA, we've been through this, and no, I cannot support that. You said that Hasbrook would be for graduate students or for students with families. And so the compromise was made that we would put, they would put transfers in Schuyler House. And we thought that that was a better solution because Schuyler House is, while it's not ideal, ideal would be, you know, having undergrads in designated undergraduate housing and grads in designated grad housing, but we felt like Schuyler House was at least a compromise because it's a little bit more of a dorm-style building, and so that's what came to be. There are some transfers living in Schuyler House, and we talked about moving some of the single grads who were going to be in Schuyler House over to Hasbrook. But nonetheless, there are still some vacancies in Hasbrook. And so what I would like to see is something, some sort of action come from the GPSA in terms of housing and our stance on the situation. Deandra?
So I propose that we write a resolution to discuss our case and present our views on this, because I think it's a lot more nuanced than maybe was expressed at that meeting.
Yeah. And I think that would be a great idea. One thing is that the GCI working group has not been meeting as frequently, and that's where some of these housing discussions were happening, some of these updates where we were getting administrators from all over campus discussing the issue. And since we're not meeting as frequently as an entire working group, these things haven't been discussed recently. So that's why I wanted to bring it up to all of you. Mike?
Just going back to last year, Nick and I were on the GCI Housing Subcommittee, and what was brought up at some point was really trying to take care of this vacancy problem by opening Hasbrook to singles and probably marrying up two singles to share. It was traditionally a two-bedroom apartment in the Hasbrook complex, which was normally geared towards families, but never really marketed or... I don't even think they allow graduate students to pair up and live in the apartment back. Mm-hmm. I think one of the excuses that I heard was that the software wasn't written correctly to do that. The billing system set up was not, I don't know if I'm getting this right or.
Yeah,
it was some odd thing. And it looked, and then there were also some financial issues. You know, they basically cannot charge a higher price to a pair of graduate students who want to live together like that,
right,
and then they do a family fall discrimination.
Right.
And if they do that, the two people who are living together get a better deal than the people who are married.
Right. I think that's more of the issue.
Yeah. So I think, you know, something I think really needs to be put into it, I think a document form at this point, basically to light a fire and get a campus light, to really try and close up those vacancies and address this problem. I mean, I'm just down to that. There is no solution been put forth on the table yet. No larger exploration. So I think we need to do something, or the GPSA needs to do something to really get them to move on.
Yeah. So, Nick, may I recruit you and Deandra and myself will work on a resolution and perhaps get something presented next meeting? Okay. Marian.
How often has this happened in the past?
Well, this happened, 3 years ago that they first put undergrads?
No, actually, it goes even much farther back than that. There was the Pleasant Grove apartments, which were right there. Where health zones is right now, and they were abysmal. I mean, they were being planned to be demolished, and they closed, people moved out, they closed these apartments down. They just could not maintain them anymore. And then shut that complex down, demolished it, and then put up the freshman commons on the North Campus without really expanding graduate students, nothing anywhere else. I think the townhouse community itself was going to be graduate students as well. I could be wrong. In more recent history, though, you're right, 3 years ago, they decided to launch a pilot program where they would try to encourage rising seniors, very upper-level undergrads, to live, compartment-style living in Hasbro. They got no bias, and they needed something to really balance off their on-campus academy, so they put all the transfer students up there. For a pilot program 1 year, and then extended it last year to a much larger scale. And that created a problem because transfer students are set students on campus who like to party. Actually, out of my experience, that is the case. And that has created a lot of problems on the campus. And it's not an ideal situation for the transfers and for the families of that campus.
Yearn and then Bryony.
If I can add something, I think the argument that was 3 years ago for why it was necessary to put the transfers in Cranbrook was that there was the West Campus Residential Initiative going on, and so they lost a lot of old dorms, and argued that the places where transfers were earlier could no longer be used, so they needed an additional space or a mother space in a temporary place. So it was presented to the GPSA back then, if I remember correctly, as saying this will be temporary, this will only happen as long as we don't have new housing on the campus.
Yeah,
right.
So it's a temporary solution, and we were happy, but we went along with it because we realized that it was a growing thing in the university.
Bryony?
I was wondering, why is it a problem building all the
good question.
I didn't hear your question, Bryony.
Why is billing an issue for the graduate students?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. But the discussion that Deandra and I had with Joe was that he said, okay, if we put single grads, for example, two single grads in an apartment in Hasbrook, then we would have to charge them the apartment rate. So, I don't know, I'm throwing a number out there. $1,000, if a family pays $1,000 for an apartment at Hasbrook, then those two single grads would pay $500 each. Now, that's different than if they were living as single grads over in Maplewood. They would be paying more than that. And they said, do you think that would be an issue, them communicating, saying, oh, we're paying less at Hasbrook than you're paying in Maplewood? He said, do you think that would cause problems? I said, well, I think putting transfers in Hasbrook would cause more problems. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
here.
Why is it not possible that they just give a different rate to partners and to then to individuals sharing? I mean, you can argue that that's to some extent unfair, but I think the subsidy for families is nothing else. Nothing else. So then people can try to cheat, of course, but that's just the issues.
I think it has to do with the housing complex and not being able to charge different rates within the complex. I'm not exactly sure on that.
So, can I ask, if you were to charge a family different from two other people, that's discrimination? Okay,
yeah. It's a fuzzy area. I think one of the things that they haven't moved on in is that the resources didn't come best with that.
Do we have any other comments on this? Okay, so then just to summarize, we're going to come forth with a resolution for the next meeting, and we can discuss it. We can even pass it. Since it's not a charter-changing resolution, we can present it and pass it in the same meeting if it works out. And then just one other point. DeAndra did point out that there is a campus life advisory committee that a graduate, they're seeking a graduate student to serve on that. In addition to that, there will be a new committee within campus life looking at a campus life master plan, and they're also going to be I've been communicating with Joe. I haven't received the official invitation for a graduate student there, but I keep emailing him and saying, hey, I haven't gotten the official invitation yet. So he's keen on it. We will have a representative on that committee as well. So if you're interested, let DeAndra or myself know. Okay. And that wraps up my executive update. So we'll move on to committee reports and discussion, and we'll start with Brian and Mario.
Thank you. So I'll go first, then Mario. So last week, representatives from the Cornell Health Insurance traveled up to Geneva and met the Geneva students to discuss what their options are for them. And for the most part, Sages, the student association up there, so it was a really helpful meeting. They have a better picture of what their healthcare options and insurance is. So, as Michelle was saying earlier about writing a resolution, the next meeting, the advocacy committee is going to present a resolution today to summarize and watch what has happened up till now and what the committee is going to be doing next, which is mainly staying on Gannett and the insurance office to make sure that their documentation is much better and more clear about what options there are for Geneva students. And the other point, which I continue harping on, I'll say it again, that even though we're here in Ithaca, we too should be told what's happening in Geneva, because, again, different departments, you can be here in Ithaca this year and up in Geneva next year. So both campuses have to be told what the policy and rules are for both campuses.
Good.
Two other things. Our committee met a few weeks ago, and as Michelle said, the minutes are posted online. You can go and read that. I'm going to try to have Betsy Romero, she's our representative on Council for Mental Health, to come next time, and then we can have the discussion about what's been happening in the Mental Health Committee for graduate students. And finally, Brenda Wicks sent me a flyer today about dental care options. I forward that to be posted on our website, so you can go and take a look at that document. Okay. And with that, I will turn it over to Mario.
Okay, so I went to the President's Council on Alcohol and Other Drugs meeting, which I do say the issues that are at the meeting really do pertain more to the graduate community. However, there are some issues that have come up that I think, you know, the discussion would be good for us to continue on. One of those is the Amicus Initiative, which I'm not sure if you guys know about this, but it's an initiative to that presidents of colleges and universities across the country have looked at the 21 drinking age and have signed on to this initiative to relook at that drinking age. So President Thornton has not signed the initiative. He has said that citing medical studies and such that lowering the drinking age would not be a good idea. The council, however, feels that this needs to be studied a little bit more and would like to look at this as a council and possibly develop a subcommittee within this group to address it. Now, obviously, being graduate students, this doesn't totally, drinking age really doesn't affect us. However, I thought it, you know, our committee actually thinks it's important that we should have a position on this. So,
we're interested in your comments and suggestions about whether or not the GPSA wants to make a statement about this issue.
Okay, we'll go Kate and then Seth.
Sure. So my question is kind of simple and to the point. Is quite cannabis mentioned in the initiative support? Is the inherent implication that if you lower the drinking age of colleges in America, there will be fewer alcohol-related deaths, injuries, negative consequences, or are there other consequences that are?
Well, I have to say, when I looked at the website and read the literature that we've talked about the meeting, it wasn't exactly clear. But I think what they're saying is that, from my understanding of this, is that underage drinking already happens on university campuses. Okay? So why don't we address that, lower the drinking age, and, you know, instead of cracking down on students for underage drinking, maybe it'd be set up in better controlled environments and that it would be safer. That's when it's thought process of it.
Since it came up here, there's no way to think it came up here in the GPSA. It's something that was brought up in several different places and venues of the University Assembly as well. There are a number of undergraduates who get as representatives in the University Assembly, and they seem to try to not put too much of my own bias or decision onto the undergraduate assembly, the student assembly, but to really try to hear them from where they're at. They're really pushing hard on this issue, and they're really excited and really motivated about it. I'm concerned that they're not taking an objective approach to this entire initiative. I recognize both the pros and the cons that have already spilled out my own mind about this initiative, and I raised several of them in the closed executive meeting that was committee meeting that we had for the university assembly. And it came up as something that we need to discuss further amongst the university assembly. I rejected that notion, and I said they really need to discuss it in their ad hoc committees, the one that they have to be under the initiative that we're already talking about right now, and within our constituent assembly, the grad session between the student assembly, and see what those assemblies say before it comes up, I think, to the university assembly, so that we have a general sense of what the other assemblies think about it, what we feel about it, perhaps do some of our own research on the issue to contribute to this committee that President Thornton has mentioned. And I think with most changes, I'm going to put this here, the same thing that I said at the University Assembly, there will be, I think, a tidal wave of very negative outcomes at the front. If such an initiative is passed, it will take a while for the tide to sort of calm down and for undergraduates to sort of get over the excitement of finally being able to drink at 18, especially in the United States, where kids are not being taught to drink at home. They're going to come to college and they're going to say, oh, it's legal here. But it's important to recognize that drinking and the age limit of drinking is a state-by-state determined age. And it's not a federal law, it's a state law, but the federal government puts a lot of pressure on the state to keep it at 21. And I would be concerned that such a measure would come down on universities acting against, one, the state, and two, acting in opposition to this state was already getting pressure from the federal government at a very young time. So all of these things I raise as political issues embedded in scientific, you know, community issues that I think should be also raised amongst the guiding professionals.
Mike, did you have a comment?
Yeah, just
a minute. So Mike, then Rebecca, then Creston, and just for the sake of time, keep it to a minute or so.
First off, you know, basically the crux of what the initiative trying to do is create a discussion among policymakers, and they're trying to get presidents to encourage their policymakers to start talking about lowering drinking age from 21 to probably 18. Then, from that level, this is a presidential act. It is basically threatening college presidents, not the college presidents signing on to this, you know, letter, basically, to encourage your policymakers to act. I think President Ford has very much made it clear that he's not going to sign it. However, I think the SA has actually done right now a good job so far. They had a meeting back in early October where they invited a whole panel of people who would be administrators from the university who would be impacted by this to really come into their assembly and just discuss, you know, possible implications, what could happen. And I think a lot of members of the student assembly actually, you know, learned a lot about the challenges that college face addressing drinking problems. And it might change their perspective a little bit, but I think the students are still going forward with that effort. If it's something that we want to bring up here, I suggest we bring in some of those experts from Gannett, from Campus Life, who do deal with the alcohol-related issue, just having a discussion with them to further educate ourselves on that.
Rebecca?
Just to clarify, the council is interested in examining
issue, not
like
making mistakes about the way they just want to,
like, basically
encourage
studies
to
show that, like, say, you know,
FTLS occurs,
these states
are willing to change. Yeah, they felt that the lab wasn't responding to it, but too swift, and that it wasn't properly in, and this panel actually was not brought up, and I think maybe it's that, you know, I wish that would have been brought up. But, yeah, they felt that it should be examined more as the university whole.
Creston?
I just want to bring this issue that several of my students actually have children that are in high school currently. And so this seems like we'd be, by transferring to age to 18, we'd be transferring the problems to all the different current high schoolers. And as the parents, I wouldn't foresee them enjoying that issue where they have to meet the issue at such an earlier age rather than from college. So that might be a way for GPSA to be indirectly involved.
Brian, and then Yuri.
I like Mike's idea about possibly doing the same thing as the SA and maybe at some point in the
discussion
at a core meeting or advocacy committee meeting.
Okay,
Aaron? I just wanted to, in response to Preston, with the opposite, which you just mentioned, that you could also view differently, that if this problem that happens at a high school level, parents have much more control than if the children are away from college.
That little boy we just had the editor was actually a video of the student assembly camp that you can get on the phone.
Thank you. Do we have any other comments on this? Mario?
I'm just going to try not to, but I think, you know, Mike, you mentioned this panel, but I didn't really hear. To me, a lot of the folks you mentioned on the panel would tend to be folks that would give a negative, you know, version of that just because they deal with people that are drunk. But I think I guess one of the points regarding lowering the drinking age would be that, again, there's more control. So I'm wondering if there are people that have done actual studies where maybe in other countries where the age is lower or in other states where the age drinking is lower and compare some of these statistics in terms of alcohol-related whatever. And I don't know, but I think that would make it a little bit more balanced to me, for me, because that's, I think, one of the main arguments. And then I don't know why, but I feel this necessity to bring this up. But as someone who served in the military, and you know, you can join at the age of 18. It still strikes me very interestingly enough that you know you can serve but you can't drink, and it's just they're obviously very separate issues, but there is a linkage there. So I'm kind of just without having that data on whether this is you know this would lower deaths and incidents, health related incidents. I am torn because of that particular issue.
Any other comments? Okay, so there have been a couple ideas thrown out, I think, among our discussion topics. One was we could draft a resolution. We could invite speakers to, say, a core meeting, as that's usually our discussion-type meeting. Or we could take no action, I think. That wasn't exactly discussed, but, you know, that is certainly another option. It's not something that directly affects graduate students. And so we don't necessarily have to, but we have these different options, and I guess we'll leave it to advocacy to kind of decide maybe what route you'd like to take, and then maybe come forward at the next meeting and give us an update. Okay. All right. Any other comments or questions on that? I don't want to leave anybody out. Okay, so then advocacy update is wrapped up? Okay, so we'll move on to the next item.
Actually, I'm sorry. I did have, just because we didn't really ask if there were any questions regarding the resolution on the Geneva.
Well, I have.
No, but I was going to just bring something up about it in terms of, I know you're talking about the communication, in terms of communicating the benefits to not only Geneva, but here. But I'm wondering if you're also going to include or think about including the whole issue of, you know, Geneva still considers its home base, because I think that's central to the problems that they're having.
Right.
So will that be included in that?
When I mention communication, I mean the published material, website, and the handbook. Right? If you do look at the handbook, the theme over and over again is go to connect. And that's something that when I say communication, it's in that handbook.
Thank you.
Just hang on the resolution.
Thanks.
Okay, so I'll hand it over to Kate to give us an advanced update.
So last Thursday, we had a press night out at Moonshadows at the Eastern State on the Common. I met Kelly, real estate bird and lawyer from the MBA, and Ryan, manager of the bar. And they have something special with the bar, and they're not necessarily have to be treated immediately for GPSA events. But I think a good time is time by all. The event committee is going to actually be meeting maybe 7:30 from 1:30 to 4:30 to talk about the opportunities we have with Felicia's and or Shadows and or other things. We have one or two additional grads that have for the semester over, as well as starting to bring
for all your work. Communications, Mario.
Yes. So communications, we had our first meeting before the break, and we are, I don't know if other committees are doing this, but we're actually going to create a budget based on some of the budget discussion that we had the last time. We want to make sure that communications is doing more than it's had in the past to just get the word out about GPSA and to get people excited and just to give away stuff and create community and a good feeling about GPSA in general. We did that, and we also discussed that we finally got somewhat of a green light from the graduate school in terms of they're going to send out for us a complete graduate-wide GPSA info. But this issue is still not solved in that this is like a one-time deal that they're going to send a newsletter for us. So it doesn't solve the long-term problem of consistent communication with all of graduate school, but this is a good first step. And I'd like to mention that when I originally brought up this issue with them, the graduate school also said that they themselves don't have a very clear way of communicating with all of graduate students. They usually have to create a message and then send it to the different like the law school and some of the different fields, not all of them, and then have them send out things. So I think it's a good indication that they're taking our feedback seriously, and I'm excited about sending that. So now it's about what we're considering is when would it be strategic to send out that GPSA wide info to get people excited about it. Did you have a question about that? Yes. So right, and we had this similar conversation recently before about it's a GPSA info is for graduate and professional students, and if you look through the GPSA info this time we did at and graduate students. I didn't think it was necessary, but in the core meeting we brought up that it is necessary. So we're adding that graduate info. Sure, absolutely. And then what else? I think that's it. Yep.
Okay. Comments or questions? Preston?
Just a point of clarification. When you say you were following the budget that was brought up in the last meeting, is that the actual allocated budget or the proposed budget increase?
So, yes, to both. The thing is, in the past, committees haven't been required to submit a budget, and I think there's been somewhat of a set amount that committees get, and I think that some committees have made use of it, some of them don't. I really would like to, on a larger scale, and specifically the communications, see start from a zero point and basically come up with a budget for the year and say, this is what we want to do and this is the money we would need and these are the reasons why we want to do this. And I think we're going to have a discussion about that sooner or later, but that's what we're doing for our committee. And obviously that budget will be brought up to the through the chain to be considered and then eventually discussed here among everyone.
Any other comments or questions? So we are going to have a pretty lengthy budget discussion in just a moment. So we'll maybe hold off on any other budget questions until then. But any other comments or questions on communications, GPSA info? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move on to the final committee report and your.
So the Planning Policy Committee just had its first meeting last week, finally. And what we talked about was what we're going to do for the year, that we want to review the Finance Commission's bylaws, that we want to actually get a decent budget passed, which tells us what we're spending money on, and that adequately reflects our spending. So that will be point three in just a moment. And another thing was brought up that if we have bylaw funding discussions, it will be very, very useful to coordinate those with the student discussion, because that it appears that that has not been done last year very much. Since I was not involved, I don't know whether my expert, but I used to the expert. And so it was pointed out that if we wanted to decrease like allocations for some groups and wanted to increase them, or like, then it would be much better to have coordinated them so that you can negotiate what you get in return and like the students work together instead of the other end being able to like place students against each other. But if you want to consider it, do you have a comment?
Yeah, so last year kind of what happened on that is the other graduate assembly tried to hold us hostage on
particular groups and funding particular groups.
Meeting resumes at 6:36 after brief recess. Okay. We were in the middle of a discussion on the Funding Policy Committee.
I think I was talking about how the undergrad is trying to hold the cost of blood. So they had actually approached the index earlier this semester about talking about they wanted to decrease funding for an organization and rally for the administration to come up and pay for some stuff, specifically Cornell Cinema. And what ended up happening is that the grad students value things differently when it comes to funding organizations and have different stakes in different organizations. And so I think that that's a very fine line to walk. Like, I think it's great to work with the undergrads in certain respects, but you take things like athletics. The undergrads last year had to basically go back begging to say, hey, we want to be able to get the students back into the age group. The graduate students had kept their funding for athletics, and we're able to keep the benefits such as better hockey ticket placement, better hockey ticket prices, free big red sports tests. But the funny business that comes, and I think, is making sure that our negotiated terms are up to help for the graduate students. Because I think in certain cases, yes, it might work, but in cases such as low day, it's very evident that graduate students live in the value in seeing the conversations we had about Cornell Cinema as well. We place very directly in the first value.
Thanks for the So I think that's a discussion that will continue to be a topic for the committee through the year, and we probably have some meeting with the end of the I think that was it from our meeting. Then the other thing that happened, Mike brought to our attention that the hockey prices has been increased significantly. So that's something Amy also referred to, that they were at $9 in the previous year per ticket for men's ice hockey, and they went up to $13. So I inquired and tried to get a statement from the athletics department, and I looked at the application that they submitted. And the application that they submitted simply stated that they would give a discount of $4 per ticket. However, it didn't say whether that was compared to the undergrad, where that one did not pay anything, or whether it was referring to the general admission price. So that was simply not specified. However, people who were present at the meeting where athletics presented the case said that they got the impression that everything continues, an impression of continuity. So above 40% rise in price of continuity, but there's nothing that we could point to that they would have done wrong. So all we can be upset about is that communication. So I finally got back from Gene Nyman, who is responsible for the ticket sales, who said that the athletic administration reviews the student ticket prices every 2 years, and for the current 2 year cycle, it was decided to raise the graduate student ticket price to $13 per game, same price as the undergrad. As an undergrad ticket, and that is because, the undergrad pay also decided to contribute to athletic again. They contributed $10 per student per week, six or $9.95, and so they made the ticket price equal. And so then in light of that, it says they have to review it, and that is all regarding, and there's no further reason for it. This is what they did. It's not like we did this to increase attendance, or we did this because we can't meet our funding needs or anything. It's just we had to review it, and this is the result. So I replied to thanks for his reply, and said that we were glad to see that they did discount it as they promised, and I didn't feel that I could say much more because didn't promise, they gave us even more than they promised in the application. So one can be upset about the way it was done, but I think there's unfortunately nothing essential to this rewrite. However, we could, I think some people suggested that we have a resolution on that, think about that, or we should maybe express to them that the way this was handled is not appropriate. Just to remind whether you think that's something useful to you or not. And if you have thought about that, would be glad to
Just a minute. So in the interest of time, because we still do have a couple more agenda items, please keep your comments to 1 minute, and I will be keeping time. So, Rebecca?
Just to clarify, what's the general issue?
$80.
Okay.
Any other comments?
Okay.
Nope. I mean, no reason besides the fact that they had to review it in the light of undergrad, right? Undergrad contributions.
I think to show that we just always need to make sure we have a strong new policy committee to make sure that this stuff does not happen again in the future. I think, you know, we need to take a look at athletics. The next 27, what they've done this year is pretty bizarre. And this year, you know, they've unsold student tickets by about 4%. And I just don't understand the logic that's going on. Office. And I think this might be a way for us, the FAA, to probably cooperate on some side. I think there are some areas that we shouldn't work together, but I think we really need to bring in athletic professionals into competition.
Any other comments? Questions? Okay, seeing none, and again, given that we have other items to cover, I'm going to hold committee reports and comments and questions there. But if you have any further comments or questions, please feel free to contact the committee chairs with those, and we'll move on then to our budget review, and Miran, I'll hand it to you again.
So you should all have the budget in front of you, or this is the title of GPSA budget discussion. In the first, I think I would try to go through this in about 5 minutes, and then we should have a discussion. And as pointed out, this thing that I think we should be discussing and things that I think may need to be somewhat input to be worth discussing. So the first thing you can see here are there are four columns. The first two are proposals for how we could organize our budget for this year, 2008-2009. And the second two on the right are the projected budget that was cost that was intended last year and the actual spending that I tried to break up according to those columns to the best of my knowledge. So what you see is that the GPSA gets revenues of $15,400, $15,353, that's student utility fees. Then it's broken down according to operating expenses, which is like having meetings and having staff in the Office of Assembly. Then there are committee expenses, so expenses which are connected to the different things like committees, like event committee, advocacy committee, finance commission, and finance policy committee. And to clarify, the finance commission part does not include the GPSA budget. It only covers the operation of that committee, not the funding to improve. So then the total expenses of around $16,000. So last year we spent, or $17,237 were spent or incurred. I think it's even more, there's an additional expense. So that meant we somehow went, because there was only an income of $15,326, the reserve that we had was ended up being reduced. We started the year with $4,741, and at the end of the year, there were only $2,341 left. And so on the next sheet, if you were to actually add up all the numbers, you would see that there are still $488 missing. And, I don't know. I really try hard to figure out which investments those were. I just don't know. I keep looking at this, but I don't know. But they're probably missing. So I would propose then to. What you should take away is we have an income of about $15,300. We spent more over the last year. We may need to spend more again, or we may need to look into whether we can keep our budget, whether we can keep our budget to whatever we take in, or whether we have we just overspend. And I'll comment on that on the next page. So to turn it around, you see the first two columns are different proposals, which differ in what they are, in how money is allocated. So let me sort of you through. So you see in the operating expenses, there's copy and postage, office supplies. Those are the numbers. Is it worth for me going through this item by item, or should I rather point your attention to those which I can write for? Okay. So I think the one important thing to note is that we allocated $2,000 for these meetings, the assembly and the core meeting, but it was last year $2,300 spent. So we need to think about whether we want to cut $300 there, or whether we think the amount of food that we had was adequate, still inadequate, and should be. That's one thing to think about. The next thing is concern committee, like the committee budget, whether the food for those committee meetings should be in the committee's budget, or whether they should have a separate food budget. And so there again, I think committees probably overspend. I mean, there was some spending, like some executive meetings where there was food, but that food was not accounted for in the actual projected budget. There was the funding policy committee went over its budget. I think even for, just for food, they went over their budget. And then some other committees just didn't have any expenditure at all. The security committee, communications committee didn't have anything. So this issue of should there be food, should there not be food, is something to think about. In the committee meeting, in the FCC meeting, I propose to cut, to just not have food for certain meetings. They're short, they're just an hour or so, or 1.5 hours. However, one of the committee members expressed that he thought A, it would be he sort of didn't understand why that would be fair, in the sense of that he would, you know, at the end of the working day, you come and you're staying longer and you're doing a good time, and then why should there be difference between the assembly meeting and the core meeting, but you shouldn't be able to have food for general committee meeting, which are actually working, so that's something to keep in mind. The other thing is there are copying costs somehow. Were copying and supplies went up to $1,300, and I don't know how that's possible, and I think that's something I still have to look into. And some important parts which I think may contribute to this is a budget package for all the student funding groups, so we put a package and that comes into a Cornell binder, probably purchased from the Cornell groups, or a couple of dollars a piece, and so there are probably some large saving opportunities. And that is something that I've already discussed with Nighthawk, and we want to look into options of making those things more efficient, like put things just online and have student groups print out things. So this is the thing where I hope, which was significant and I think went over by far, but this is hopefully something that can be cut quite a bit. We don't yet know how. Just one thing. Next thing, committee budget, I said something about that. Then I covered the committee expenses. Then there is the question of whether we want to allocate special funds, or how we allocate special funds. So you see that in the under special fund expenses, there's our retreat. There is Ivy Summit attendance, which I think I will say something at the very end. Then the question, do we want to have a budget for satellite campuses, like we mentioned Geneva at the beginning of the year, should that be listed in there? Do we want to have an award ceremony like we had last year? And then the last issue, there's saving for Ivy Summit. It was when the activity fee last year was discussed, it was said that the GPSA dedication was kept at the same level because we wanted to save some money for Ivy Summit, which will be coming up next year. So, and that's why we the $4,000 that went to Globedate last year should be kept safe. So that's something that you can keep in mind, but that's something which is, in some way, it's a good coincidence, because I think that it'll allow us to be a little bit more flexible while restructuring our budget. I think in general it has been, well, yeah. So this will, I mean, we don't know what that budget of that summit will be anyhow, so we should strive for savings for it, but I think we will not be, you know, we will not run into zero, so it's certainly not right. So let's just end this, I think, and I would propose that I first take your questions, and then maybe we can do this one topic at a time.
Okay, Safi.
Under the company's expenses, the company actually brought in the last group.
Oh, okay. So that's the question of whether, and I mean something that Mario alluded to, and also that we're thinking about how could one differently assign funding to committees. And there's my impression is that it may be a good idea to have just an overall fund which would fund the committee's activities. So if you want to do something that, you know, you want to have a survey, or you want to have a meeting where people can come, and you want to, I don't know, you want to purchase a banner because you will present something somewhere, then those types of expenses could come from this, from such an account, which would be overseen maybe by the executive committee or so. And I thought it was, I did it this way because I just don't know, that way you would be able to put a number to those expenses, even though they are probably very, you know, seldom rare enough that you don't really know what it is. And I think to break that down even more committee by committee before the year has begun may not be the best way to proceed. One thing that I think is important is to keep, to have a different budget for food than for other things, so that people don't, you know, spend money on food and then at the end of the year they're, oh, now we've already spent our budget, we can no longer pay for our buyers or something else that you, you know, need.
He's talking about the spreadsheet that spreadsheet.
Sorry, that's a different. Yeah, so for the Ivy Summit, they're the graduate school with the Tudor Summit. Or we hope
to make up
we'll
the
get
difference.
Some support from the grad school. So the question is, that's why the number is so much.
Is that
one?
Yeah,
sure.
So last time you funded for the school day,
right.
How are they going to compensate for that action?
So the scope day for the first time got byline funding. That means that the funding that the contribution that the GPSA or the grad students give to scope day no longer goes through the GPSA account, but they directly get it from the GPSA.
Brian?
Looking at this correctly, in projection 1 and projection 2, mm-hmm. We have that 0 of 450. So,
yeah,
we still have that 300, or is that only if the projection 1?
So I think this depends on. Okay, so the first thing is, this is not, you know, I am bringing this to you to tell me whether you think this. And those two different proposal projections are just to emphasize how the budget would look like depending on the structure we set up. So if you had no, you know, and then so then there are two issues, right? The zero here under food, or yeah, here's under food, not under general. So I think you should think of the 150 in the second thing as being as a general committee budget for you, but you could not just use it for food, but also for
product. Right. Yeah. I mean, back between the 150 that I came up with was total for food and supplies.
Right.
One more back.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So no, sorry, no, don't. That should be about that. Not in this way. No. Same goes for communication.
My question is, there's been talk about increasing the amount given to grad schools, increasing the teacher credit to make that up. So I think calculated something from time that it would be a $200 increase, or maybe $5 increase to make that up. And I think that the tightness of our budget and needing to look forward to having summit, that might be something we really need to consider. The other thing is, this brings up an interesting idea in the fact that we could put a certain amount of money into community activities each year. Committees aren't formed until the fall, and then have committees each year in the fall to make requests for possible projects out of that. Now, I mean, it seems that committees are going to be vying for money, but it's an idea that I can use. And the other thing is, the third thing, and then I'll stop, is I think we're making a step in the right direction, because last year, I don't think anybody really knew what their budgets were and how to stay within those budgets. And this year, I think we're making huge leaps and bounds, and we just need to be more accountable to the budget values we set. Because nobody, I mean, we would ask many times last year, how much money do we have where? And it was very difficult to get a straight answer because the Office of Assembly keeps this entire spreadsheet to show the truth here, who's giving us where. And when that's an idea of who's giving what, specifically for each amount. So I think we're already ahead of the game.
Okay, so we're having a good discussion. We've only got a couple more minutes until 7. Do I
move to extend the meeting until 7:10?
Do I have a second? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right, so we'll extend the meeting until 7:10. I'm going to propose we have about 8 more minutes or so to discuss the budget, and then I would prefer to have 2 minutes at the end to discuss the last point. It shouldn't take too long. But continue. I think Rebecca was next to the point. Okay. Preston, a comment?
Yeah, two quick things. The first one is that the $1,000
increase is $200. Yeah, so that's supposedly the $600 reduction.
Okay. And then the second thing is, I would like to see the idea of seeing a net zero proposal, which shows us great speed for the year, not running a deficit, because I think just with the current climate that we're in, we should have a budget issue for the current possible deficit.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the budget is, in a way, so the cut, we as an assembly propose so there's no possibility that we will have to discuss it. Because it's just, every two pick up, it's not interesting. However, of course, it would be an impression that in 2 years,
if I may insert a quick comment here, just one thing. The projected in 2007-2008, it really has no basis, to put it bluntly. So please, I ask that you not really rely on that number. Well, we projected 600 last year, but now we're projecting 1,200. That projection really has no basis on basically the whole budget. I'm sorry. It's not too bad in most cases.
It's not bad. However, if you look at the planning commission, for example, it's instead of 650, it's 500. And the funding policy committee, instead of 250, it's 533. It's not. I don't even know what.
And so then, I'm sorry to insert another comment. There hasn't been a lot of accountability in the past either. If the money was there, the money was spent, and it just kind of crossed line items. And while that's worked in the past, again, as Preston mentioned, it might be good to have a more clear budget, especially with budget times overall not being good. Yeah. Just showing that we're being responsible for our money, I think, is an important thing. And so I've been in touch. Yearn and I have been communicating a lot, and we're kind of making this a charge for the year. You know, just getting ourselves organized and making sure that we're accountable to what we've allocated at the beginning of the year. So that's why we're belaboring, I guess, the budget, is we really want to get this clear, and we want to hold everyone accountable to what we've had. Okay? I'm sorry. Any other comments now? Mario?
Just a question. I think it's great that you guys have done this. At what point in the future, though, are committees going to have to submit for budgets? Like, how soon after all of this is worked out, are committees going to have to really start, instead of just getting this is what you have for the year?
I guess it depends on what we as an assembly decide.
Okay.
So we could decide that each committee gets a certain allotment for food,
yeah,
and maybe a certain allotment for supplies. We could decide that all committees just get one budget and they have to, as Amy said, buy for money. We could say that each committee gets a certain allotment for food and then they buy for money for supplies, okay, or vice versa. We have the power to make that decision. So we can, no, not necessarily.
I think it should actually be so that we have a way of trying to incorporate, like, make this work this year, so that we have a process standing at the end of the day. And I think this will, this then should also, I believe, maybe be put into writing somewhere. Like, right now, all that the charter says is the funding policy committee oversees the GPSA budget.
Okay.
So it's not, that's it. Whatever that means. So
that's another thing. We're going to, that's the last point on the agenda, is looking over the charter, but also to get the budget refined. Okay.
So are you looking for specific proposals from us tonight of what amount should go where and how you want to do this? Or is this just to get us talking some more and then allocating a huge chunk of time voting and stuff at the next meeting? Because I think we're not on that form as well.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No, we're a quorum. We can vote.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think one thing that I would like to see is, what I hope from this was a discussion on how the committee should get money. What is that, and that's because I feel that's something that is that we need to decide. Then the other thing is that I would like to very briefly go through the special funding expenses which concern the. I certainly want to talk about the IFA Summit, and we can leave the rest. So maybe in the interest of time and for making sure that we can get this in, because it's happening this weekend, I would like to know from you whether you have any objections against allocating $1,000 to it. I'm not sure whether I should be here or whether I should be here.
No, I think.
I'm going to approve the allocation of
$1,000. Do we have a second?
Aye.
Okay. And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So I guess it would be 11-4, 0 opposed, 1 abstention. Okay, so $1,000 for Ivy Summit. Thanks, guys. Just to throw in a brief word, I think it'll be really important for the planning of next year to have the representatives that we have going all able to go. So thanks. Next.
So as far as committee, I think there are two distinctions between committees. I think we really have to allocate a firm amount to events and have to allocate a firm amount to finance commission. Because those are our two committees that do big events. But the other three, I could see, depending on the year, because each committee will go differently each year.
year, mm-hmm. is saying that we want to allocate $800 or something for these three committees. No more than such amount can be for food, and the other amount committees will submit a budget for approval to the assembly for projects or something. Just having seen some of the committees and how they function, but next year will be a big year for funding policy because they're going to be doing finalized funds.
But again, we're looking at this year's budget.
Right, but I'm just saying, if we're starting to look at setting up a procedure that we're going to start using.
Understood.
That's kind of what I'm talking about, because, and this is coming from last year in trying to grab our budget numbers from within there.
Right.
Is that it was difficult to know what committees would need, and you're going to have people like Mario who wants to do a lot with communication. There's people like Brian who wants to do a lot with advocacy. And if you're a newsroom, you want to fund policy. So, but yet, but that, I know, it's just kind of, the executive is here just to get for their own good. So, I mean.
Don't tell our advisors that.
maybe to emphasize this point, I agree with that. With those sort of different categories, I think that how much we want to spend on events is sort of a general question that we can ask, and that is a question that I think is, because it's a big chunk of money, I think it's fine if that sort of stays constant. And for the Planning Commission, the process is such that a fixed budget is very easy to adhere to. There's no reason to expect a lot of fluctuation. The way this works is the committee meets essentially once a month, reviews allocations, or reviews applications, and at the end of the year, there's one big funding day where people come and review the budget. And so for those meetings, since they traditionally go 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, there's usually some food, and then there's food at the end of the budget day to get people to come. And one should be able, once the process is established, to know how much money is spent for the time. So I think that indeed should be fixed and be helpful for the chairs not to have to worry about.
Would you like a motion from that? How much is it in here? Everything I do, I'm sure they can motion aside because like the best share of my presence as well. So.
Exactly.
So I think what we should start is have a presentation from those committee chairs to say how they would use the money. And like how, like you're going to talk about each committee allocating money in a different way.
I think one thing that I would like to see discussed further is I know that I talked with Mario, and Mario said that he did not think to have a cap would be useful, like to have an overall fund because then you would have it. And that's the notion that I think I disagree with, because I feel that you would want to have some sort of continuity, and you have to know at the beginning of the year how much money do we want to allocate to these things. And chair of the Planning Policy Committee, I feel there should be some number there and I shouldn't have to wait for approvals and then move everything else around. So I think something that, that I think is something that I would support, and I would wonder what your opinion is.
Colin? Well, if we're not going to, I think that's fine that we not make any motions tonight. Remembering that we have only one more business meeting, before we go on recess for winter break, because we don't have a business meeting in December. So I feel like we need to hammer this out next meeting. And so we've discussed a lot of ideas as to how we would allocate money for the committees in particular. You have projections in front of you, and I would like everybody to review this in more detail and start up a dialogue, send things to Urine and send things to the execs, and we can try to summarize things and have emails sent out before the next meeting so that we can have a little bit more business time rather than discussion time at the next meeting. Okay? So please do. If you don't express anything, we're going to, I don't know, we might just have to make decisions on our own, and I don't think that's particularly appropriate. I want everybody else to be making the decisions here. So please provide your comments. And then the final item on the agenda is to form an ad hoc committee to review the charter. And all I want to say on that, I'm going to be a little bit of a stickler, but I'll have to send an email out to the committee chairs, but for those who are here, I want you to designate somebody from your committee to be on this ad hoc committee to review the charter, because there are certainly a lot of things within the charter that are specific to committees. And then I asked people to volunteer themselves, other assembly members, to volunteer themselves to serve on this committee, and if I don't get any volunteers, I may do some appointing. And we'll have a committee formed by the next meeting. Okay? So that'll be our task in the next semester. Okay, do we have any final comments, questions, anything, Preston?
This is probably the length of the budget overview that we're going to do in the next meeting. Would it be possible to take a motion to extend the meeting by half an hour?
For the next meeting?
To start earlier and late.
And late? So a possible end time of 7:30? Okay, so we have, are you presenting a motion? Okay, and we have a second from Amy. We'll have a placard vote. All in favor of having November's meeting go until 7:30, please raise your placard if you're in favor. Ten. Any opposed? Abstentions? Abstention. So motion passes. Next meeting will go until 7:30. So please make note of that on your calendar, and I will announce that when I send out email. Thanks for your time, and meeting adjourned at 7:13.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.